The following program was taped in front of an audience of real live people.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. Ready for something spicy? I'm your red hot Billy Pepper. Bill Curtis, and here is your host at the Studebaker Theater at the Fine Arts Building in Chicago, Illinois, Peter Stegall.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us. We do have a great show for you today. Later on, we're going to be talking to Lyndon Barois, an artist who became famous by making tiny sculptures out of gum wrappers. His art is now in museums and private collections all over the world. He is an inspirational tale, especially to all of us with garbage piled up on our desks. Just tell everybody it's raw material for your art. We are very eager to hear what you've been stockpiling, so give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, it's Ellen Sturgis from Stowe, Massachusetts.
Hey, I know Stowe, Massachusetts. What do you do there?
I provide interim management for nonprofit organizations.
You provide interim management?
Yes.
Right.
So I go in, I'm primarily a finance person. I go into a nonprofit having some issues and help them get reorganized, and then I move on to the next one.
Right. You're sort of like the Lone Ranger, but with spreadsheets.
If it was only that cool.
I know. And you leave and they're like, who was that masked interim director? Well, Ellen, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a comedian whose album Yell of Joy is streaming across all the platforms. It's Joyelle Nicole Johnson.
Hey, girl.
Next, he is a stand-up comedian performing in San Francisco on May 8th, Seattle May 10th and 11th, and in Portland, Oregon on May 12th. It's Josh Gondelman.
Hello. I guess I'm kind of an interim comedian. Yeah. I show up, I do my job, and then I leave.
Until the real comedian comes back.
Yeah,
exactly,
that's
right. And making his debut on our panel this week, he's a stand-up comedian headlining the Lyric Hyperion in Los Angeles May 7th, and the host of the New Guys podcast, it's River Butcher.
Hey. Hey, Ellen.
So, Ellen, you're going to play Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis is going to read you three quotations from this week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain just two of them. Do that, you will win our prize, any voice from our show. You might choose for your very own voicemail. Are you ready to go?
I am ready.
Okay. Here is your first quote.
The administration will move to reclassify it after a review by the White House Office of Management and Budget.
Okay, that was a little dry, but what if I told you that was High Times Magazine reporting on the White House's move to reclassify what this week?
That would be marijuana.
Yes, indeed. Cannabis, weed, grass. The devil's herb, the DEA, has been told to reclassify marijuana from a Schedule 1 drug, that is a group that includes, among other things, heroin, to a Schedule 3 drug, that's a group that includes ketamine and whatever the cool soccer moms are taking. Now, most people think this change is about Biden trying to make a pre-election pitch to appeal to younger voters, and that might be true, but it might also be a mistake to pin your hopes for an election on the population most likely to forget when election day is. Have you guys been following this at all? Is this of any interest to you? Because it's of interest to a lot of people.
Oh, I've always treated it like it was Schedule 3, so.
Yeah, really. It is still very legal on the federal level because it has been classified as a Schedule 1 drug. And that means in the law, it's as bad as heroin and worse than cocaine, which is, when you think about it, kind of fair. Cocaine has never caused anyone to start a jam band.
Wait, look, I know that cocaine has never made anyone start a jam band, but marijuana has never made anyone start a hedge fund, so.
All right. Here's a question. You guys are very, accomplished political pundits. Do you think that this will help Biden with the youth vote?
I think it's good that he did this.
Yeah.
from a medical point of view and a criminal justice point of view, I do feel like with all the reasons the youth vote is mad at him now, this does feel a little bit like maybe an open relationship will save our marriage. Yeah. Like, it really seems like kind of a, like, I gotta try something.
Yeah. All right. Ellen, your next quote is from the director of the Louvre Museum in Paris, talking about a newly announced plan for a renovation.
Moving her to a separate room could put an end to public disappointment.
So what is apparently everyone always disappointed by at the Louvre?
I would say the lines of the Mona Lisa?
Yes, the Mona Lisa. And not just the lines, the painting itself. It's the most famous painting in the world. 20,000 people see it every day, and 19,900 of them say the experience was a letdown. The rest were all pickpockets. So in this new plan that they just announced, the painting will be moved to a dedicated room in the basement, giving it the exotic, refined aura of a Peloton bike you no longer use. Have you guys been to see the Mona Lisa in the Louvre?
Yeah, I've been to see it, and it's crazy because there's a whole lot of large paintings that you're walking through, and you go through and see the tiny Mona Lisa, and I've had this same experience on a date before, and it was less disappointing on the date.
All right. The painting, did you know this? The painting ended up in the Louvre after spending time, and this is true, hanging in Napoleon Bonaparte's bedroom. Man, if you had to watch that, you wouldn't smile again either.
Napoleon, someone else I assume people thought would be bigger.
Exactly.
Maybe that's why he has the Mona Lisa.
Exactly.
Because it's to scale.
Yes, no, he would stand next to my enormous painting so that he would seem larger. That's
this
why.
Is Le Muro, they could.
Exactly. All right, here is your last quote. It is from a New York Times story about a particular problem in relationships.
Her fiancé had no interest in sharing the bed with it.
That was from an article this week about how to approach an issue that some couples are facing early on in their relationships, how to introduce their new partner to whom?
Can I have a hint?
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, I can't sleep without my Paddington, so you're just going to have to live with it.
Oh, my God, you're a stuffed animal?
Yes, you're a stuffed animal. So this is a problem apparently young people have. Adults who are holding on to their stuffed animals from childhood are trying to figure out when is the best time to introduce them to new romantic partners. And you might be surprised to learn the answer is not never.
You just have a nice, you set up a little tea party, you do the introductions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So here's what happens. You also have to introduce them to the family as well, because my cousin married a woman who was into dolls and like the big ones. And
how big?
Like these big ones, but when we walked into her house for her first like party, she had a life-size doll with her wedding dress on in the living room.
Whoa.
Yeah, and my family's messy, so anytime somebody came in, they were like, did you see it? We were like, see what? They're like, go in the living room right now.
Wait a minute.
If you say see what, you didn't see it.
You didn't see it.
Now, according again to a clinical psychologist, it is totally fine to have a stuffed animal as an adult. In fact, they can help regulate your nervous system and improve sleep. Okay, that's cool, but it is a red flag when you start to date somebody and they say, my teddy bear and I have been talking and we're ready for a third. We're happy to say that people are dealing with it. This is from the Times article, and I quote, Ms. Roth said her husband is very supportive of Scooter. He loves him like his own now, she added. Nevertheless, her husband declined to comment for this article.
I like that guy has big, like, he's got real stepdad of a stuffed animal energy. Where he's like, yep, I love it. I love it like my own. Do I want to talk about it? No.
Hi, this is the New York Times. I'd like to talk to you about your wife's stuffed animal. No comment.
Hired a publicist.
Bill, how did Ellen do in our quiz?
Perfect.
Well done, Ellen.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Right now, panel, it is time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. River, after a group of zebras escaped from a transport trailer in Washington State, they were successfully recaptured thanks to whom?
Mm. Can I have a hint?
Yeah, it's funny he did this because normally people just call him a real bozo.
a circus clown?
Close, a rodeo clown.
A rodeo clown.
He just happened to be walking by when these animals escaped.
And he was like, my people.
Exactly.
Zebras, the clowns of horses.
The zebras were heading from Washington State to Montana, presumably to do some skiing at Big Sky, when they escaped their trailer and started running down the interstate. Fortunately, a rodeo clown happened to be in the area. It was able to assist in corralling the animals. It was the best day of his life. How often does a rodeo clown save the day? Nobody ever gets on a plane PA and says, is there a rodeo clown on board? We need whimsical distraction.
It's also great because it was his second rodeo.
That's true.
Was he in... Full clown regalia, or was he like an undercover clown? Like off duty.
I like to think he was like off duty. So as soon as the zebras came charging down the interstate, he said, hang on a second, everybody, I gotta put on my face.
Or even just like holds out his red nose like a badge, like, I got this from here.
Yeah. Now it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air, or you can check out the pinned post on our Instagram page at WaitWaitNPR. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Jody from Graniteville, Vermont.
I have never heard of Graniteville. Where is that exactly?
We're about an hour south of Burlington, about 20 minutes south of the capital, Montpelier, 2 hours south of Montreal, I guess the biggest city.
Are you north of anything?
North of Boston.
All right. That's something. That's something.
How many hours? I don't believe it.
Yes.
Jody, welcome to the show. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Jody's topic?
They call this move the Bill Curtis.
There's no better way to be memorialized for all time than to have something named after you. For example, pizza bagels, named after the Earl of Pizza Bagel. True. This week we heard about something new that has been named after the person who inspired it. Our panelists are going to tell you about that person and that thing. Pick the real one. You'll win the Wait Waiter of your choice on your voicemail. Are you ready to play?
Yes.
All right. First, let's hear from Joyelle Nicole Johnson.
Intensity in sports is omnipresent, and the World Series of Poker is no different. The calculation and focus are painstakingly measured, but what's sometimes miscalculated? Bathroom breaks. Danny Chu of Silver Spring, Maryland, is an adept poker player. He's famous for his intense focus, which he gets from his secret weapon, holding it for as long as possible. But recently, he pushed it too far. As he turned over his straight flush, which he hit on the river, taking the biggest pot of the tournament, he felt both triumph and a warm, wet sensation in his pants. The dealer forced a break at this point for him to change and go to the bathroom, and now the tournament has nicknamed it the Chew Cutoff. When asked if he's embarrassed or regrets not asking for a break, Chew answered with a resounding no. I'll look into adult diapers before I let my concentration wane. His wife, however, cannot be reached for comment.
All right. The Chew Cutoff, a mandatory bathroom break in poker tournaments named for a player who did not take one. Your next namesake saga comes from River Butcher.
Not everyone can sleep on airplanes, but Susie Castlewick can. This week, when Susie was flying from Chicago to Newark to visit her cousins, she intended to take a quick nap during the short flight. But thanks to her incredible ability to doze off above the clouds and recent staffing cuts for airline attendants, Susie flew completely uninterrupted and unconscious from Chicago to Sydney, Australia. When asked about how they let this happen, the flight attendants commented on how Susie kept talking about how this was the trip of a lifetime and that she can't wait to see the sights. We never thought she'd be talking about Newark. Benefiting from the dreaded middle seat, Susie dozed off on the shoulders of the window and aisle passengers next to her, making it seem to attendants that they were traveling companions. Not only did she gain quadruple frequent flyer miles, as well as nearly 24 hours of sleep, she also had a new airline rule named after her, the Snoozing Susie Rule, which states, no matter how cozy or angelic or identical to the sleepy time tea bear a passenger looks, flight attendants are now required to wake up passengers at regular intervals to avoid free trips down under.
The Snoozing Susie Rule, a new rule on airlines to make sure that somebody doesn't sleep all the way to the Antipodes. Your last name in the game comes from Josh Gondelman.
Emily King, a teacher in San Jose, got more than she bargained for while inviting friends and family to her daughter's first birthday party, an event that the child will not remember an instant of. King intended to set up a small gathering at a local park, but instead she accidentally invited all 487 of the contacts in her phone. What's worse, the invitations were sent based on how each name was stored in King's phone, meaning she sent out messages addressed to, for two examples, Derek Eyeroll and Jess hit her car in parking lot. On the plus side, Evite has added a new function to their app called the Emily Hotfix that stops future users from making the same mistake. It's the next best thing to having a disease named after you. Plus, King will have way fewer people to invite to her child's next birthday party thanks to all the new enemies she's made.
All right. So there is something in the world named for the person who inspired it. Is it? From Joelle Nicole Johnson, the chew cutoff, a mandatory bathroom break in poker tournaments named for a player, chew. From a River Butcher, the snoozing Susie rule named for a passenger Susie who slept all the way to Australia. Or the Emily Hotfix, a patch on the Evite software that will prevent anybody else doing what Emily did and accidentally inviting every one of their contacts to a party. Which of these is the real eponym in the week's news?
I'm going to go with River's story and the snoozing Susie rule.
You're going to go for River's story of the woman who got in a plane in Chicago just to go to Newark and ended up in Australia and slept the whole way.
Are you encouraging me to change my answer?
I am remaining studiously neutral.
Okay.
Patient. What'd you say? Josh's story? The Emily Hotfix?
Yes.
All right. Well, here is, we're so very proud to present to you the person for whom this thing has, in fact, been named.
Derek Eyeroll, he received an invitation. Jess hit her car in parking lot. Anyways, I have to quit or get a new identity.
That was Emily King herself explaining on TikTok about all the people she accidentally invited to her kid's first birthday party. Congratulations, you did get it right. Josh was telling the truth. You broke River's heart, but what the hell? And thanks to Emily for being the pioneer in this embarrassing error so that nobody else will ever have to go through it. Congratulations, and thanks for playing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great job.
And now the game we call Not My Job. Some artists are defined by their chosen medium. Michelangelo did miracles with marble, Rembrandt with oils, Larry David with complaining. Lyndon Barrois is the greatest living artist whose medium is Wrigley gum wrappers. His tiny sculptures have been collected and displayed in museums all over the world. He joins us now. Lyndon Barrois, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thanks for having me.
A little bit of a fact check here. I referred to you pretty confidently as the greatest living artist who works with gum wrappers. Are there any others?
No, I think I'm the only one on the planet, actually.
Right, yeah. All right, I think we just need to go right back to the beginning and ask you how you got started doing this.
As a kid in New Orleans, you know, I just grew up making things all the time, you know, out of, you know, discarded phone wire, aluminum foil, you know, anything I got my hands on, you know, clay. And then, you know, when of the tons of gum that my mom chewed, and I discovered, you know, her discarded wrappers were paper on one side and foil on the other, I had the idea that if I sculpted it with the paper side out, I can color it. And boom, the light switch went off and, you know, here I am.
Right.
It got me here.
I know. In your magnificent mansion made entirely of gum wrap. And this is where the only one of my few times that I'm sad I'm on the radio, because I would love for people to instantly see these, but what people need to understand is, like, these are not, I don't know, little stick figures. They're incredibly detailed, miniature, full-body portraits. Oh, he's holding one up now. Yeah, and the two you're holding up are football players. And was that what you... Was that where you started? Because I know that one of your first major projects was football, right?
Well, yeah, that was the first solo show I had, but I actually started just from making drivers for Hot Wheels cars. So because, you know, the cars are so cool, you know, the doors open, the hood, the trunk, everything, but there's no driver, so it made no sense to me. And so I just started making people to put in the car and never stopped.
Did your mother, like, up her gum chewing to provide you with more raw material?
She did, but then the doctor told her she had to stop because she'd swallow it and said, this is not healthy, man.
Wow.
That's like the low point in your Behind the Music.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Do you, and you're a married man, right?
Yes.
So you meet your wife, and she says, what do you do? And you say, I'm an artist. And she says, oh, fascinating. What kind of art do you do? And you say, I make tiny little figures out of gum wrappers and then film them in stop motion animation. And she says, what?
She didn't believe me.
No.
That's just one of those things guys say to impress women.
She said, you're so full of shit. She'd come to my house and she'd say, you're an artist, where's your artwork? And I said, well, we generally don't show our own work, but you know, they're so small, like she wouldn't be able to see them anyway.
It's like the Mona Lisa.
Yes. See, at that point, you can just get away with saying you can do anything.
Right, exactly. You have a day job, which is you do animation and special effects for Hollywood films, some very, very big.
Yes, Hollywood. That has been the bulk of my professional work. I'm responsible for the creature work, the character and creature work. So, like, I've done everything from the Matrix trilogy to Happy Feet, the CG creature effects in those films, the ones that are brought to life, the actual characters themselves.
I can't let you go without asking about what must be your masterpiece as a film artist, which I refer, of course, to Karate Dog.
Oh, my God!
As if I need to explain to our sophisticated audience, Karate Dog is a movie about a dog, wait for it, who can do karate. So,
but not to top the Kung Fu Cow in Kung Pao.
All right, wait a minute. What seems to be the case is you're the go-to guy in Hollywood when we need an animal doing martial arts.
Yes.
Yeah. Were you aware, because we looked into this, that Karate Dog, of course a classic, but there are some people who are unhappy with Karate Dog because despite the title, the dog only does karate twice.
Wow, I can't imagine. I never heard that criticism. Of all the things, that was not one that came up.
Really? Well, Lindenbaum, why, it is fascinating to talk to you, and we have in fact invited you here to play a game we're calling...
That there is a really big sculpture.
Since you create very tiny sculptures,
oh my God.
We thought we'd ask you about big ones. Answer two out of three questions correctly about very large works of art, and you will win our prize for one of our listeners, any voice they may choose from our show. Bill, who is Lindenbaum playing for?
Larry Sylvester of San Francisco, California.
All right. You ready to do this?
Yeah, okay. I hope I don't blow this.
Okay. The ancient Olympic Stadium in Greece, where they had the Olympics, had a row of giant statues outside. Those statues served what purpose? Was it A, they were each posed as if they were doing a particular athletic event, showing which way you had to go to see that event? B, the names of athletes who had cheated were inscribed on them as a badge of shame. Or C, their arms and legs were posed to spell out the letters in Olympics, like, you know, the YMCA dance.
What? I'm going to say A.
You're going to go say A, that, like, if you wanted to go see the javelin, you went over to the statue that was holding the javelin and you went that way. No, it was actually B. They if you cheated at the Olympics, they inscribed your name and what you had done onto the statues so that people would know and you wouldn't compete again. It was the ancient Olympic version of a photo by the cash register. Like, don't let that person in here. That's okay. You still got two chances.
Yeah.
So once one of these big monumental statues goes up, it's rarely changed. One exception is the very big statue of the Duke of Wellington in Glasgow, Scotland. What change was recently made to that statue? Was it A, because historians finally proved his horse had been a mare, not a stallion, certain items were removed? B, there is now an orange traffic cone permanently atop the Duke's head? Or C, after a sponsorship deal, his Wellington boots were replaced with Uggs?
I gotta go with A on that one. They had to have made him a gelding.
The audience is what is the audience yelling?
B.
The audience is yelling B, the orange traffic cone. I'm just going to lay that in front of you.
B.
Yeah, B. They were right and now you are too.
B.
So what happened was, sometime in the early 1980s, for reasons no one exactly knows, people just started putting this traffic cone on top of the Duke's head, and they'd take it off, and immediately somebody would come up and put another one on it. And it was such a pain in the ass to climb up and get it, that they said, you know what, from now on, that's part of the statue. Problem solved.
I love this because I'm learning things.
You are, you know?
Yeah.
I know what your next sculpture will be. All right. One of the most famous large statues we have is Bob's Big Boy, whose figure looms over many of their franchises. That big statue of Bob's Big Boy played an important role in someone's life once when what happened? A, author Norman Mailer said he stopped drinking finally when a Bob's Big Boy looked down at him and told him to straighten out. B, Patricia Arquette told Nicolas Cage she would only marry him if he could bring her a Bob's Big Boy statue. Or C, all of the customers of a Bob's Big Boy were saved from the 1966 Topeka tornado by hiding inside him.
B.
You're going to go for B. You're right. Yeah. Patricia Arquette told the story that Nicolas Cage had wanted to marry her for a long time, and she said, fine, if you want to marry me, you must complete this quest, and gave him a bunch of things, including J.D. Salinger's autograph and a genuine Bob's Big Boy sculpture.
And steal the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
Sorry.
And he did it, and they got married and lived very happily for about 4 years. But let me ask, Bill, how did Lyndon Barois do on our quiz?
Lyndon got 2 right, and Lyndon, that is a win. And you have won. You have won a little tiny statue that we're going to be sending.
Lyndon J. Barois Sr. is a sculptor, artist, and animator. You can learn more about his remarkable work at itsarapper.com. Lyndon Barois, thank you so much for joining us. You're a genius, and we love talking to you. Take care.
Thanks for having me, guys. This was too much fun.
It really was. Take care. But right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Josh, according to a new book, something that our parents and teachers and drill instructors have been harassing us about for decades is actually a lie. It is just not important to have good what?
Drill instructor. Is it posture?
Yes, it is, Josh. Posture. It's a lie.
Ha ha. Take that, everyone.
Go ahead. Slump in your seat. Round your shoulders over. Stare at your feet. Nobody cares. According to a historian of science, Beth Linker, the whole proper posture thing is a scam all across America. People are drooping with relief.
Thank you. Thank you, doctor. I'm going to upgrade you if you're not a doctor.
She's not, but go ahead.
Okay, Dr. Linker. Thank you, because I do have the posture and texture of a croissant. So, but it's helpful to me to hear.
It does look better, though.
You think?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like carrying my books in my hands either. I prefer to put them on top of
exactly. Did you guys ever get pressured to do this, like to stand up straight and have good posture? It's a sign of, I don't know, virtue, strength, courage.
My mother was always, stand up straight and pull your stomach in. That's all she ever said to me, and I have PTSD from it.
There you go. But you're right. I mean, you're right, Joelle, because this is going to change parenting completely. No more standing up straight, right?
Yes.
So it's going to be like, stop standing up straight. Swallow your food whole. Look one way before crossing the street, and go talk to that stranger. He seems bored.
Yes.
And who cares? Eat your lunch while you're swimming. You need to wait 20 minutes. Bring that hot dog over in the pool.
If you're a tall woman, please stand up straight. I'm going to just say that. Yes.
And if you're if you're a tall guy, keep hunching over. Us medium height guys could use the edge.
Joelle, a multiple choice question for you. You no doubt know about South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. Many people say that she is trying to be Trump's vice presidential candidate and perhaps to increase her chances. What did she brag about in her new memoir? And it's multiple choice. So did she brag about A, cutting taxes, or B, shooting her pet dog?
It's just two?
It's just two choices.
Okay. Ooh, yeah, she shot somebody.
She did. She shot her dog. In
what?
Her memoir, Governor Noem tells this story about how she killed their 18-month-old dog because it was, quote, untrainable, and she, quote, hated it. She even includes in the book her daughter asking, hey, where's Cricket?
I thought white people liked dogs. That's going to get her votes.
Well, that may have been the calculation. As people on both the right and left got very upset with her about this, she decided to blame the liberal media, who, in their usual dishonest way, quoted her.
I think this is one of those, like, reboot spinoffs, right? Because Hollywood loves a intellectual property. She's innovating Young Yeller.
Oh, I said the thing that's over the line? I'm sorry I referenced literature.
I'm never going to feel bad about my mother telling me to stand up straight ever again.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can catch us most weeks here at the Studebaker Theater in downtown Chicago. Or come see us on the road. We'll be at the Mann Center in Philadelphia on June 27th. And at Wolf Trap in Northern Virginia on August 1st. For tickets and information for all of our live shows, go to nprpresents.org. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is David Vincenti from West Caldwell, New Jersey.
Now, West Caldwell, New Jersey, I do know. What do you do there, David?
I am an adjunct professor of business and an amateur musician.
An amateur musician. That's great. What music do you play?
I play the accordion.
Well, thanks for being on the show, David.
I'll tell you what.
Thanks for calling. And
cocaine never made anyone do that.
It's true. The only accordion story I know is at Weird Al Yankovic's, in terms of his origin. How did you pick up the accordion?
Well, a music school opened near my house when I was 10, and my father convinced me I loved the instrument, and I've played it ever since, and I love it very much.
Wow, so he was right. How did he do that? How did he convince you to love the instrument? How do you do that?
It was a long time ago, but as I remember, it was because he insisted I play that and nothing else.
Ah, that'll do it, yeah.
Was your dad Weird Al Yankovic?
David, welcome to the show. Bill Curtis is going to read you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a winner. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Here's your first limerick.
A seat made of fabric is grunge. Into water it cannot be plunged. When I get these bricks wet, they're a full dining set. My furniture's made out of...
sponge.
Yes, sponge. Very good and very confident. So, are you one of the countless people who picked up a wet sponge out of the sink and just wished you could sit on it? Well, this week, Swiss designers released a line of furniture made from cellulose sponge that grows, it expands when it gets wet. It's great news for the environment. It's very, you know, sustainable. Even better for bedwetters. You can go to bed in a twin, wake up in a California king. In addition to being sustainable, it's also very efficient. There's nothing better than a piece of furniture you can use to clean your other furniture.
I need this for my dog.
We just wonder if it's like it comes in a little like capsule and you throw it in water and you're like, is it going to be a sofa? Is it going to be a couch? Is it going to be a bed?
It's dinosaur.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dinosaur.
Always a dinosaur.
Couch.
Always a dinosaur. Okay, here's your next limerick.
These signed footballs are not the bomb, lady. The goat has too much aplomb, baby. His writing's not great, so the value deflates. They're worth less because they're signed by...
Tom Brady?
Tom Brady. So people brought valuable sports memorabilia to an event with Tom Brady in Florida to get him to sign them. And they're now complaining that the items actually lost value because his signature was so terrible. One collector paid tens of thousands of dollars just to attend the event and have access to Mr. Brady. He brought the pride of his own collection, an unused ticket book from the 2002 Patriots season for Brady to sign. Now he has an unused ticket book with an indecipherable scrawl on it. And he's very unhappy. He said, quote, it's the same thing as being in a graveyard or cemetery and knocking over stones or defacing them, unquote. And whoops, there went all our sympathy for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? What?
He's never had any problems.
No, he never has.
Your signature is too messy. It's Tom Brady's signature. That's what you wanted. You're not like, oh, the O is a perfect 360-degree circle.
The signature has great posture.
Here is your last limerick.
This lace evolution is drastic. It holds better than Velcro. Fantastic. Although shoes are tied, my feet slip inside. I am lacing my shoes with...
elastic.
Elastic. Yeah. Say hello to the latest technological revolution. Permanent shoelaces. You tie them once, and from that day on, your lace-up shoes turn into slip-ons. Finally, sweatpants for your feet. The New York Times Wirecutter column extols these elastic shoelaces as the greatest invention since elastic bread. The reviewer said she fitted her Converse high tops with these laces, quote, and it took less than 30 seconds to put on both shoes. Compare that to putting on shoes with normal laces, which can take as much as 30 seconds.
I understand this if it's like a disability access thing, but if you're just someone who's like, God, I don't have those 15 seconds it takes, it's like, change something from the rest of your life.
Yes.
Your shoes are fine.
Yeah. You know these people have nowhere to be.
Yeah. Well, gotta get over to the couch.
I do believe you're only as old as you feel, but if you feel like you don't want to tie your shoes anymore, you're old. Bill, how did David do in our quiz?
David is so good, he should take that accordion on the road because he got all three right.
Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for playing. Take care.
Thank you for having me.
Slip inside the eye of your mind. Don't you know you might find a better place to play?
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now with 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Joyelle and River each have 2. Josh has 4. Ooh. He's rolling.
All right, so Josh is in first place. Joyelle and River are tied for second. So, Joyelle, I'm going to arbitrarily pick you to go first. The clock will start when they begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Tuesday, the judge in Blank's New York trial held him in contempt of court.
Donald Trump.
Right. After 40 years, the United Methodist Church announced it was overturning its ban on clergy members who are blank.
Short.
Gay.
Ooh!
This week, the FDA said it had not found any active strains of blank flu in dairy products that they had sampled.
Swine?
No, bird.
Oh, not
bird
in
flu.
Dairy.
Yeah. On Thursday, the U.S. imposed new sanctions against companies in Hong Kong and blank.
China.
Yes, according to the Wall Street Journal, the hot new romantic place for wedding proposals is blank.
Mount Everest.
No, the Berkshire Hathaway annual meeting for shareholders in Omaha, Nebraska.
Excuse you. That was a lot of words.
I know. none of which were Mount Rushmore. On Tuesday, the CDC issued a warning about a multi-state blank outbreak connected to contaminated walnuts.
Measles.
No, E. coli. Following a fresh round of layoffs, the CEO of stationary bike company blank stepped down.
Peloton.
Yes, this week the parents of a three-year-old who complained about a monster living in the walls assured their daughter there was nothing to worry about, and then they blanked.
Pee the bed.
No. And then they discovered 50,000 bees living in her bedroom wall.
50,000?
50,000 bees.
They counted all the bees?
They did, one by one.
You can't ballpark bees so like hard. That.
Yeah. And I was like, guy, bees, would you just stay still for a second? I'm trying to. After removing the hive, the family assured the girl that there's no such thing as monsters, and the sounds under her bed are just the 50,000 spiders that live down there. Dale, how did Joyelle do in our quiz?
Three right, six more points, total of eight.
All right.
Beat that. Good old three.
That's right.
Okay, River, yep. You're up next. Please fill in the blank. On Sunday, the parent company of social media app Blank said they would not sell it to a U.S. company.
TikTok.
Right. On Thursday, the U.S. accused Russia of using chemical weapons in Blank.
Ukraine.
Right. This week, thousands were told to evacuate after a volcano began erupting in Blank.
Hawaii.
No, Indonesia. On Wednesday, the Federal Reserve said it would hold blank rates at their current levels.
Interest rates.
Right. After MTA bus drivers refused to transport campus protesters to jail, an NYPD officer took the wheel of a bus and blanked.
Crashed it.
No, he took the wheel of the bus, realized he didn't know how to drive it, and asked the arrested students if anybody of them knew how to drive it. They said, no. On Tuesday, the Biden administration announced that all new cars must have an automatic blinking system by 2029.
Parking.
No, braking. Thanks to a clerical error, a town in Serbia that tried to order 10,000 new streetlights received blank instead.
Disco balls.
So close. 10,000 beach balls.
Wow.
Officials in Zlatibor, Serbia were confused when instead of these street lamps, 10,000 beach balls were delivered to the town. Also, while the balls will not be effective at illuminating city streets, it is way better than the music festival where everyone got injured trying to bounce street lamps off each other. Bill, how did River do in our quiz?
Well, he got three right. His total of eight ties. Joyelle.
Yay.
Yay.
All right. How many then does Josh Gondelman need to walk away with this thing?
Two to tie, three to win.
All right, fill in the blank. On Tuesday, Arizona's Senate voted to repeal that state's 160-year-old blank ban.
Abortion.
Right. On Wednesday, Marjorie Taylor Greene said she'd call for a vote to oust House Speaker blank.
Mike Johnson.
Right. This week, electric car giant blank fired the team responsible for running their supercharger network.
Tesla.
Right. On Monday, G7 nations agreed to shut down all their blank power plants by 2035.
Coal?
Yes. Following a public outcry, the city of Milan, Italy, has reversed course on its plan to ban blank after midnight.
Dancing.
Selling ice cream after midnight. On Monday, the Kansai International Airport in Japan celebrated 30 years without losing a single piece of blank.
Luggage?
Right. On Sunday, Taylor Swift's boyfriend blank signed a new contract that made him the highest paid tight end in the NFL.
Travis Kelce?
Yes. This week, a woman returning six pairs of shoes to Amazon was informed that she had also accidentally returned blank.
Her passport.
No, her cat. According to the woman, the cat snuck into the boxes just before they were taped up. The package was too heavy to notice, but don't worry, the cat is completely fine and is currently waiting to be picked up from an Amazon locker at the nearest Whole Foods. Bill, did Josh do well enough to win?
Josh, you got 16 points and number one. Good luck.
Double that.
Now, panel, what would be the next big story from the art world? River Butcher.
Michelangelo's David will be the Grand Marshal of this year's San Francisco Pride Parade.
Joyelle Nicole Johnson.
A series, the work of Gorton Parks as photoshopped by Kate Middleton.
And Josh Gondelman.
The Metropolitan Museum of Art will use AI to take that annoying blur off of Monet's water lilies.
Well, if any of that happens, we're going to ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to River Butcher, Joyelle Nicole Johnson, and Josh Gondelman. Thanks to our fabulous audience at the Studebaker Theater in downtown.
Chicago, Illinois. Thanks to all of you for listening out there, wherever you may be. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week.